Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to talk about a story that I haven't talked about thus far, but it's a story that warrants a closer look, and I really don't know when in this country we're ever going to come to a point or a place where these types of stories stop happening. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about Jaylen Walker, a young man who was shot at over 80 times by police officers in Akron, Ohio. He was hit by 46 rounds. And what did he do? Well, he was pulled over. And police said he fired a single solitary shot at them. Happened to be a young black man. He fired a shot. Didn't say several shots. Yes, he had a gun in the car. They pulled him over. This happened on June 27th. A 25-year-old young man. He took off running from the police, and they unloaded on him. And I don't know if people really understand what it's like to be a black person and law enforcement comes upon you. You know, I raised three boys, and I always taught them that when you got pulled over, what not to do and what to do. I don't think that that's a conversation that's had, for the most part, as much with people who aren't black than they are with people who are black. Let me ask you, Connor, you're a young guy. You have any fear of police officers?
I would say one based on experience. Like, I don't have like a general fear of police officers, or wait, like I don't have like an individual fear of police officers, like when I see them, but like generally, you know, I feel a little bit, because I've had experiences back in Chicago where they've like been too aggressive or, you know, profiled and stuff. And it's not every single police officer is the same, obviously.
No. This is not every police officer, and I'm trying to get people who don't have the same experiences,
yeah,
as people of color, especially black males, have with law enforcement officers.
Yeah, it's very different out here. Like, you know, my friends that I've met out here talk about how, like, growing up, they knew their town sheriff, and they knew a couple of police officers, and they had amicable relationships with them. But because I grew up, like, in a place where there was a lot of high crime, police officers are a lot tougher. And, you know, a lot of the times they have to be in those scenarios because there are situations where they are putting their lives at risk. But then other times, you know, it's just a kid walking home from school, and they're just profiling. So it's like seeing a lot of people don't understand, like, it's the environment. And it's that colors a lot of how generally, right, black people look at police officers, right? It's not like anything individual, but it's like when you have those experiences, it just colors how you see police officers in general.
You know, the fact that there's a history there.
Exactly. That's important too.
If there was not a history there, then we wouldn't have an issue. But because there's a history there, that's at the root of all of it. And so here's another prime example of why this history in this country just doesn't seem to go away. Jaylen Walker, who was killed by Akron police last month, had 46 gunshot wounds on his body. 46. So they shot over 90 shots, 80 or 90 shots at him. He had no gun when he was running away. So how can you at any point in time think that that's justifiable and that it makes sense? And then you watch guys like the guy, and I forgot the city where the 10 people, black people, were killed in the supermarket. How a white guy kills 10 people, wounds all of them, he's got a weapon, and they don't kill him. He walks away, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. These things don't make sense. And at the root of them, we know, is the fact that nobody can argue differently that the police look at unfortunately, not all, but far too many, at a person based on the color of their skin. And this response, we don't even have to talk about George Floyd or any of those others, Tamir Rice and all the rest. You can go on and on and on and on. And even long before the last 4 or 5 years or so. But here's a prime example. And the worst part about all of those things is that many times police get to walk away.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I feared for my life. Hey. You fired 90 shots at a guy who's running away, which means you shot him in the back. Right? Mm-hmm. He's running away. Somebody tell me how that's justifiable. It is not. And the fact that people are outraged, well, yeah, he was a criminal. Well, what do you mean? Well, didn't he have a gun in his... Well, today, all sorts of people have guns in their cars, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It can't be that that's reason enough that this man was shot 47 times. Man.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, this is a point that I've heard like in a lot of separate places, but I do think it's because of training. I think that a lot of cops are specifically in the area that they're in, right? They're trained not to
Shoot until he stops moving.
Exactly. And it's like, I feel like de-escalation, right, should be the primary method that they should be trained in, like how to take a situation where you do have an active shooter or any situation and how to make it so you can immobilize the person, you can stun the person, right? Because ultimately you don't want to just go and shoot to kill continuously. I know they have the right to do that, right?
Yeah.
It's completely legal if they shoot. But I even think having that precedent, I think, incentivizes police officers to just try to solve situations just rough and as intentional as possible without thinking about, okay, how can I, because I think the goal is getting that person, if they are criminal, right, into the car, right, into the jail cell, analyze the situation, see what happened, and then if someone did something that's wrong, then you figure out the consequences.
Well, go ahead, finish your point.
But that's not giving police officers like that right, right? And then not having them be able to have equal accountability. Because in a self-defense scenario, right, it's innocent until proven guilty, right? But police officers get this benefit of the doubt a lot of the time, specifically in their municipalities. And I think that's something that should be a lot more cracked down upon.
Well, personally. So your point is valid. They have this immunity, which means, you know, after it's all said and done, for the most part, you know, they're not going to be charged. It's got to be beyond a reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. why they did what they did, but for heaven's sakes, man.
I mean,
you know,
maybe there should be, you know, penalizations for not being able to de-escalate the situation, right? Because in this situation, he could have done that. He didn't have to shoot him 80 times.
It wasn't one police officer.
Exactly.
It was a gaggle
exactly.
of officers.
So
they can say I was afraid for my life, but we know that was not the case. There's no way you could have been afraid for your life.
And even if you were, your entire job and the reason why you do this, and the reason why you get paid and have this immunity is because you're in situations where you're able to overcome that fear and protect and serve. Like, that's the job that you specifically sign up for. And so I'm not saying that those people don't have any humanity, because they do, but it's like you have to have equal accountability.
Right? Well,
and that's
what
I think most people are upset about.
Well, but humanity can't be based on color or nationality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the issue is that it appears as though their humanity is only for certain people. And so this young man's funeral was this past Wednesday. Walker's funeral was on Wednesday, followed 2 weeks of protests and unrest. And then you hear people, they get angry and they say, well, why are they protesting? You know, Black Lives Matter. Why are they there when, you know, people are getting killed in their neighborhoods and in their communities every day and nobody's marching and protesting? But you don't expect to be shot down.
Yeah. And like, even with that, you know, and I know we're about to go to break here, but like, growing up in Chicago, there were lots of protests, lots of political action groups that were against crime and violence in those neighborhoods. It's just the media doesn't report about it.
No.
Media, the, you know, mainstream media doesn't talk about it. They talk about these scenarios, and they need to, because it's terrible, but at the same time, it perpetuates the white versus black, you know, historical dichotomy that drives traffic to these organizations. Instead of, like, there's a group called Ceasefire in Chicago that's been active.
Been around a long time.
Yeah, so, and they
hold the thought, man. Yeah. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. That's young Connor with all that wisdom in such a young body. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. I'm so afraid.